Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28. One more time, by faith, Moses. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this man, Moses. Such dynamic faith he had. So many challenges he faced. We look not just at his faith today, but the faith of the people he led, the faith of the Israelites. Certainly Moses was the leader, but others had to follow. And there was a very important thing they had to do. They had to believe what you said. Help us today to believe what you say. Guide us through this study. I ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. It's easy to convince ourselves that disaster only happens to someone else. Earthquakes happen in California. Tornadoes happen in the Midwest. Floods happen along the Mississippi River. Hurricanes happen along the southern coast. You know, we're pretty blessed where we are because all these things rarely happen around here. Only people in the newspaper are victims of crimes. Only my neighbor is struck down with disease. These things just don't happen to me. The same is true for some people concerning the judgment of God. They think they can get away with just about anything. God's not going to judge me. God's not going to chastise me. God won't ever touch my life in a negative way. He's a loving God, so I can live carefree. There's a sense in which Moses and the Israelites, especially the Israelites, might have been thinking something along this line. During the first 9 of the 10 plagues that God brought upon the Egyptians, because in the first 9 plagues, the Israelites were untouched. Oh, God isn't going to do anything to us. Except that when it came to the 10th plague, God said it would be different. He would touch the Israelites if... pause for effect. If you don't listen and believe and obey what I say. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 28, through faith he, Moses, kept the Passover. It took faith to keep the Passover. Why? Because God said, if you don't put the blood on the doorposts, this plague will touch you. But if you do put the blood on the doorposts, I will pass over you. It meant something personal to Moses. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 20, it tells us that when he initially went back to Egypt, he took his wife and his 2 sons with him. He has 2 sons. He had a firstborn. If he didn't obey, it could have touched him personally. Moses understood. God said it. We better believe it, and if we believe it, we better obey it. Let's go back to the book of Exodus, chapter 7, verse 20. I'm going to do a little survey of the 10 plagues and point out some specific things. From my estimation, I believe the 10 plagues covered about 32 days. So this is happening fairly rapidly. And for much of that time, the Israelites watched the Egyptians be touched by the mighty hand of God's judgment, while the Israelites remained untouched. We observe. Here in Exodus chapter 7, beginning of verse 20, we have the plague of blood, water turned to blood. Verse 20, and Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. He lifted up the rod, smote the waters that were in the river, and in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river turned to blood. Verse 21, the fish that was in the river died, the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land. Verse 24, and all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink. Now, it is my belief that by pointing out in verse 21 that it was the Egyptians who could not drink, that the Israelites could. I mean, why say the Egyptians couldn't drink if the Israelites couldn't either? God is very specific in the words that he chooses. And when he says it's the Egyptians that couldn't drink, he is implying that the Israelites could. And in verse 24, it was only the Egyptians that had to dig for water, not the Israelites. Chapter 8, verse 6, plague number 2. Frogs. Do you like frogs? They're squishy little things. Verse 6 of chapter 8, Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. Verse 13, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. The frogs died out of the houses and out of the villages and out of the fields. They were in the houses. They were all over the villages, all over the fields. You farmers, how would it be trying to plow around a bunch of frogs? I don't know if they would fertilize the ground or. But they gathered them up. Verse 8, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people. Oh, they were only affecting Pharaoh and his people. They didn't affect the Israelites. Verse 11, and the frogs shall depart from thee, Moses says, and from thy houses, and from thy servants, and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. If it specifies that the frogs were in the houses of Pharaoh and Pharaoh's servants and Pharaoh's people, that excludes the Israelites. The Israelites were untouched. Chapter 8, verse 17. Plague number 3, lice. Have you ever had lice? And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. How many lice was that? The dust of the earth? That's a lot. But in verses 16 and 17, at the end of each of those verses, it tells us it was through all the land of Egypt, and thus not in the land of Goshen where the Israelites were. Chapter 8, verse 24. Plague number 4. Flies. You ever get flies in your house? You have a fly swatter? No. They can be pesky little things, can't they? Verse 24, the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies. We're not talking about a couple of flies flying around in your house. This is a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. And notice what God specifies in verse 22. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there. And the Israelites are standing over there in the land of Goshen, and they're looking into the land of Egypt, and they're seeing all these flies flying around, and they're saying, not touching me. Chapter 9, verse 3. Plague number five, the murrain on the cattle. Chapter 9, verse 3, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle in which is in the field. At the end of verse 3, it says, there shall be a very grievous murrain. Drop down to verse 6, and it says, the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died. But notice in verse 4 of chapter 9, the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. So back to verse 6, where it says that all the cattle of Egypt died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. See a pattern here? The Egyptians are getting hammered, not touching the Israelites. It only happens to them. Never happens to us. Chapter 9, verse 10. Plague number 6, boils. Verse 10, and they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. Verse 11, and the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians, not on the Israelites. Chapter 9, verse 22, plague number 7, hail. Verse 22, the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt. Verse 23, Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. Verse 14, however, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and thy people. Verse 26, only in the land of Goshen where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. Chapter 10, verse 13. Plague number 8, locusts. Verse 13, Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought on an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Those are the noisy ones, aren't they? Don't we have like a 17-year locust or something that comes up? And that's not the same thing as a locust? Locust, a grasshopper? Oh. Are they noisy? They're bothersome, I suppose, when they come in the numbers that they came in this case. Because it says in verse 6, they shall fill thy houses and the houses of all thy servants and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day. And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. But notice it specifies only in the houses of the Egyptians and not among the Israelites. Chapter 10, verse 22. Plague number 9, darkness. In verse 22, it says, Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt. 3 days. Verse 23. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. They couldn't even see each other. Have you ever been in a dark place like that? Many years ago, when I was a young man, there was a time of that. In another place, way out in western Pennsylvania, there was a cave that was not developed, and you could go in there. And I took a bunch of teenagers. You had to wear hard hats and you had to have flashlights. They gave us a map. And we went through a hole in the floor of this cave, down in, and we went down and down and down. And then I had them, everybody turned their flashlights off. It was so dark, literally, you could hold your hand 1 inch in front of your face and you couldn't see it. Do you see what it says? They saw not one another. It was that dark. But at the end of verse 23, but the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Apparently, God would not even allow the Egyptians to have lights. If they tried to turn some lamp on, it would just go out because he insisted that the darkness persist for 3 whole days. But the Israelites had lamps and candles and light. Chapter 11, verse 1, plague number 10. And the Lord said to Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Verse 5, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. Chapter 12, verse 13, speaking to the Israelites. Chapter 12, verse 13, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Then Moses called for all the elders, verse 21, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. Remember what it said in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 28. Through faith he kept the Passover. The rest of that verse in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 28 says, and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Faith was necessary for the Israelites to avoid the plague touching them. God said, put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts of the houses. The Israelites could say to Moses, you know, we've been through 9 plagues and not one of them has touched us. Why should we think the 10th plague will touch us? Do you think there were any doubters like that? Very possibly. I mean, after all, 9 plagues and we've been perfectly fine. What's this business about putting blood on the doorpost? Well, you had to believe that what God said was true. Put the blood on the doorpost, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. If there's no blood for me to see, this plague will touch your household. There are a lot of people today that believe with all their heart that a loving God would never send them to hell. I'm a good person. I attend church. I was baptized as an infant. I attended confirmation classes as a child. I'm a member of a church. I've never committed a gross sin like murder, adultery, or fornication. I always obeyed my parents. Do you believe that one? I kept the Ten Commandments religiously. I don't use bad language. I am kind to my fellow man. I give to the poor. My parents are Christians. Oh, I may not be perfect, but no one is, and God will understand about that. I have done more good things than bad things. God wants us to enjoy life and have a good time. God's primary concern is that I am happy. Have you heard those things? A lot of people think those things. You know, there were false prophets back in Jeremiah's day. Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 12. This is what God said. Jeremiah chapter 14, 12. God said this: when they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. That's what God said. Verse 13, this is what the false prophets said. Then said I, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. God didn't say he would destroy us with the sword. He's a loving God. He would never hurt us. It only happens to other people, not to us. Moses believed that when God said, without the blood, this is going to touch you. Moses believed God meant it. And so Hebrews 11:28 says Moses, through faith, kept the Passover. And so did the people of Israel. Exodus chapter 12, verse 28. Exodus chapter 12, verse 28. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they, because they believed what God said. They believed that God meant what he said when he said, if the blood is on the doorpost, I will pass over you. God said that. I believe it. I'm going to do it. There's a difference between those whom God touches in judgment and those whom he spares in mercy. In Exodus chapter 11 and verse 7, it says, "But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites." What was that difference? Exodus chapter 7 and verse 22. Exodus chapter 7 and verse 22. "The magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord said." What does that word hearken mean in our 20th? Is this 20th? This is 21st century, isn't it? I'm a little behind the time. 21st century, is it really? In 21st century language, it means he wouldn't listen. Chapter 8, verse 15. "But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them." Verse 19 of chapter 8. "The magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened." The magicians are starting to listen. But Pharaoh, he hearkened not unto them. Exodus chapter 9 and verse 12. "The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh and he hearkened not unto them." He wouldn't listen. You know my one great theme of all time, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing. And if he wouldn't hear, what could he not possibly have? He could not possibly have faith. But Exodus 12:28, the Israelites obviously listened, because when God commanded, so did they. Exodus 12:22, they took a lamb according to their families and killed it, and they put the blood on the lintel. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 10, they ate the Passover meal. Exodus chapter 12, verse 11, they dressed for travel. Look at that one, Exodus chapter 12, verse 11. "And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Why did they get dressed to eat this evening meal? Because God said when the firstborn of the Egyptians die, Pharaoh's going to let you go. And they're dressed and ready. They believed what God said. Today, there's still a difference between those whom God touches in judgment and those whom he spares in mercy. That difference is based upon the same thing, whether or not a person listens to the word of God and believes it. And because he believes it, he obeys it. Those who are like Pharaoh, who refuse to listen and to obey the word of God, will suffer the consequences from the hand of the Lord. But those who will listen, who will turn their ears to the word of God and turn their hearts to obey what they have heard, will be showered with blessings from the hand of the Lord. In William Shakespeare's play, Julius Caesar, Mark Antony is given to say, "Friends, Romans, and countrymen," remember what he said? "Lend me your ears." That's what God says to you. Lend me your ears. Listen. Listen to what I've said. Hear it. Believe it. And obey it. And I'll bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for those Israelites who heard what you said, believed what you said, and obeyed it. It took faith. Faith exemplified in the person of Moses. May we have that kind of faith that comes from hearing your word, which gives us a willingness to obey. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.